Okay, welcome back to the programme now, and coming up over the next hour, we're going to be hearing shortly from the director of a new cancer support service that's just opened at the Waterways in Sallins. They supply their services free. Our virtual history tour, the final one after 20 of them over the last 10 weeks, final one for the moment, is Liam Kenny, who'll take us on a virtual history walk around Marvellous Maynooth. Senator Fiona O'Loughlin will tell us about a number of issues that she has raised in Shannon Aaron recently, including adopted people having access to birth certs, additional funding by the HSC for what's called 24 additional lactation consultants, and indeed waiting lists for babies seeking medical treatment as well. Time permitting, we'll have a look at some HICWA reports of a couple of nursing homes in Monastrevin, and we'll have our weekly COVID quiz. Today it'll be in the general knowledge, and we want you to test your knowledge along with Kira and Owen on that. Keep your messages coming, 0833 97 97 97. Just one thing before I go into a bit of music, because it's been bothering me since last night, and it just ran around in my head when I saw this report yesterday evening. It's on all the media today, and I'm surprised we haven't heard it on the radio news. Maybe it was there or not. But what prompted me again is the ad I heard in regard to coercive control. This controlling by men over women in particular, but we also have coercive control by women over men, but the majority of it is by men over women. And the amount of domestic abuse that we have seen become increase so much during the pandemic. But a report of what happened, now if you're rather delicate of feelings and stuff like that, and particularly if there's any young people around, you might want to move them away for the moment, or just turn off the radio for, well, don't turn off the radio, please. But I just feel I have to do justice to this woman and all these women out there who are suffering domestic abuse, and men, and what their lives are like. Because the headline is, acid poured on a woman found in a burning Limerick property, a court was told. Gardaí alleged that 41-year-old Simone Lee was left for dead in her burning home at Fairview Crescent in Limerick on Tuesday by a person, the name is Christopher Stokes. The 37-year-old Stokes has appeared at Limerick Court, charged with threatening to kill Miss Lee. But it's the nature of what he did. The detective Garda in question objected to bail as he believed that Mr. Stokes would try to finish what he had set out to do, quote unquote. The Garda said in court that Stokes became agitated during a visit to Miss Lee's home and demanded that another man, a 71-year-old, drive Stokes to Charleville in Cork because he wanted to rob goods from a shopping centre so he could get money. Miss Lee is currently in serious condition in a hospital. It's alleged that Stokes assaulted the woman a number of times and that eventually the 71-year-old Mr. Feehan agreed to drive him to Charleville so he could steal goods. On the way, he repeatedly assaulted and choked Miss Lee. He was in the back seat, she was in the front passenger seat. On returning to the house, he barricaded the front door, pushed her to the ground and repeatedly assaulted her. He's alleged to have poured boiling water on her back, caused her to go unconscious, to have poured ammonia acid in her face three times, attempted to suffocate her using a plastic bag, and then she awoke sometime later to find cardboard boxes piled on top of her and the apartment on fire. She was rescued by firefighters. Stokes denies that he was responsible for what was done. Not surprisingly, the judge has remanded him in custody and refused bail. It's an appalling, it's an extreme case, but unfortunately and regrettably, it's not unknown, that type of abuse going on. If you have been impacted by that story, if you're suffering from domestic abuse, coercive control, anything like that, we'd like you to reach out. I have some numbers for you. Here in Kildare, Chuck Chairman is 045 527 584. The website is chuckterman.ie, 045 527 584. You can ring Women's Aid on a free phone number. It's 1-800-341-900, or indeed Men's Aid on 01-554-3811. Women's Aid, 1-800-341-900. Men's Aid is a Dublin number, 01-554-3811. Okay, let's move on anyway. And a bit of music, lovely bit of music. Man with the most greatest voice on the radio that I've ever heard has to be Barry White. Okay.
I've heard people say.
I saw a fire, Barry.
Oh. Too much of anything is no good for you, baby.
It sure is, baby.
But I don't know about that. There's been a time that we've loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough.
Lads, what I'd give to have a voice like that. What an amazing voice. To me. Oh, darling. Please tell me I'm good, that I can sing like him. That's one of my ambitions in life. Anyway, Stella Morin, don't you agree?
Yes, I agree.
You better agree or I'm going to drop the phone line in terms of that. Oh, Barry White. Oh, what a voice. Lads, if that doesn't charm you, nothing will. Anyway, I love Barry White, I have to say. The late Barry White, actually, died some years ago. Now, somebody wants to know, what country is that individual from? Why, you know, it doesn't matter what country he's from. He's actually Irish, okay? If you're trying to make a point that it might be a migrant or another, you're way off the mark in relation to that, unfortunately, I have to say. So those numbers, again, be just very careful with that. If you're in that situation, reach out. Help is there. Talk to Chairman Refuge Centre for Women in Kildare Town and their children, 045 527 584. Women's Aid, 1-800-341-900. And I know Men's Aid is reaching out all the time about the increased numbers of men who are suffering domestic abuse. And that is 01 554 3811. You can find them all on the relevant websites as well. Anyway, Stella Moran, it's very good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
And thank you for joining us. And you are a director of the Quishla Centre, and there are a number of these. One has just opened in Waterways in Salins. We'll talk about that in a moment and what service. I want to say hello to Margaret O'Gorman and that man that you make so great down there, at who got me in touch with this, and Network Ireland, the women's branches of Kildare and beyond around the country as well, for getting us in touch with this. So the Quishla Centres, give us a little bit background for that, Stella.
Well, Clem, the Quishla Cancer Support Centre was founded in 2004, and we have a purpose-built centre in County Laois. But over the past number of years, we have experienced increasing numbers travelling from County Kildare to our Laois centre. So as a result, we have opened an outreach here in the Waterways in Salins.
All right. So now, let's talk first about what kind of service your Port Laois centre offers to people and families.
So what we offer is coping strategies to improve survivorship and emotional support after a cancer or during your cancer diagnosis. When you get a cancer diagnosis, it's a lonely place to be. So we are a support centre to help you to cope with that diagnosis. So at the Quishla Centre, it's a place where your families or friends can come, and we have access to nurse support, counselling, holistic therapies, and we support groups alongside, you know, your medical treatment. We support it in a warm, welcoming environment.
Now, in terms of how people access your centre then, is it just a case of rock up or just contact you? And are there terms and conditions or whatever else that people must observe before you take them on?
No, once you're diagnosed with cancer, once you have a cancer diagnosis, you can ring our centre, and we're using the Port Laois Centre at the moment, but they make the appointments here for our outreach centre. So our Port Laois Centre, the number that you would ring is 057-868-1492, or you can email us at info@quishlacancersupport.ie.
Now, Quishla is the Irish word, let me tell listeners, by the way, C-U-I-S-L-E, Quishla, which means veins, by the way, is the, as I understand it, in terms of that, but that's neither here nor there. It's a great, great idea. And we'll talk a little bit more about maybe the details behind some of the supports that you offer in a moment. Tell me now about the new centre, the outreach centre in Salins at the Waterways.
Yes. So as I say, over the last couple of years, we have experienced increasing numbers travelling from County Kildare to access our service, because we provide, as I told you, we provide support services for people diagnosed with cancer. So we opened our outreach here in the Waterways in Salins, and we're having 2 days at the moment. We'll have Tuesdays and Thursdays. They will be our days that you can access us here in Salins.
And it's just basically, because I'm looking at, for example, the services. You're in the Block Road in Port Laois. You have a website in regards to that, which says the Quishla Cancer Support Centre is primarily funded by voluntary donations and local fundraising events. Do you get any state support?
Yes, we receive less than 10% support from the HSE and the Irish Cancer Society. So it's only 10% of the money that we need to run the centres. So we are totally dependent on donations and fundraising and the generosity of the people of Laois and Kildare, you know. So it's very important to us, our fundraising for local charities. You know, we see a lot of where big charities are have the wheels and the HR to fundraise. But local charities, I think we've been lost a little bit. So we're very much delighted that the Kildare Women's Network have chosen us as our charity, this year, because this will help us enormously to set up our outreach here in Kildare for the people of Kildare.
Right, a lovely message just came in there from a listener who says, I've attended Quishla twice, I've had cancer twice, I've attended Quishla Centre, and they have been a fantastic support to me. That's great to hear that. The services you offer include counselling, complementary therapies, breast care service, garment fitting, manual lymphatic drainage, social welfare and benefit entitlements, and group therapies. By the way, who set up the centre?
The centre was set up in 2004 by our medical director, Peter Nocton. He was a consultant, a breast consultant in Portreath Hospital, and he felt that when people were diagnosed with cancer in a hospital across the desk, they had nowhere to turn, and they were devastated. So we set up that centre then in Portreath, that when you're diagnosed, you can come to the centre. It's a nice, warm, friendly environment. You can sit down, we can chat about it, and then you will meet a nurse. There are two nurses, oncology nurses, Sonia and myself, we're two oncology nurses. So we assess the needs of what you need going through. So we will go through your journey, you know, of your diagnosis, where you're going, your treatments, if you need practical support like medical card or anything like that, we have our citizens information person that we can put you in touch with. If you need it, your counselling, then you might need counselling. Some people do, some people don't. But some people just might need a relaxation therapy.
All right.
And it's lovely to have this relaxation therapy if you're going through chemotherapy, which is reflexology, and that really helps if you're going through chemotherapy.
Right, it's fantastic, actually. It's a lovely idea, wonderful idea. I'm just looking at your photograph, by the way, Stella, along your director of services there. Mary Ruddy is the centre manager. Sonia Bowen is the support nurse, and Hilary Brennan is secretary there, just the team. People who'd like to find out more about the Cuishla Centre, I have to say it's new to me, and Cuishla is spelt, it's the Irish word, C-U-I-S-L-E. You can go on the website, which I'm looking at the moment, where you can find out all about the team, the services, how to donate, because you depend so much on voluntary donations, as we just said. And the good news is that the Kildare branch of Network Ireland is going to support you as their chosen charity this year.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you to them again, because they will help us to set up our centre here. And then when here in Kildare, what we would do is you can come and you'll have your nurse support and you will have counselling, and we have our relaxation therapies. And then when people are finished their cancer treatment, sometimes it's they're leaving the hospital and they feel very vulnerable at that stage, you know, because they're not going back to work, they're still at home. So that's where we come in with our survivorship programs. And we have an array of survivorship programs, in that we have our Thrive and Survive. And that's a program that's rolled out by the National Cancer Program. And we have other things like our exercise. Exercise is very important now, because after cancer treatments, people feel tired and fatigued. So exercise is very important to help them to get over the fatigue. So we will be running a big exercise program. Comes Sonia, our other oncology nurse, has done lots of courses in exercise and the improvement of your quality of life through exercise. And we would be also running other courses like mindfulness. Mindfulness is very good to keep you in the now after it. And we have yoga, art. We have programs like early menopause. Young women are thrown into early menopause due to their cancer surgery, and we've heard a lot about that on the radio lately, due to their surgery or due to their treatments. So we are there to support them through that, and we run a course for those women called the early menopause group, which is very well attended.
All right.
We also have a prostate group for men, and is very important, because they need exercises after it as well. And we also look after the children of people who've been diagnosed with cancer, because a house can be very turbulent during that time and children can get very anxious. So we run a CLIMB program, and we also have a child psychologist. We look after the children. So look after the children of people who've been diagnosed, of mother and father have been diagnosed, or if the child is diagnosed themselves.
All right. It's an incredibly comprehensive service. I'm so impressed listening to you there, Stella Moran. It's fantastic. And well done to the Network Ireland Kildare branch, because Paddy Mulholland, I understand, proposed this back in November at their lunch, that you would be adopted as their chosen charity for this year. I have to say, special thanks to Margaret Gorman of Ambit Financial Services here in the business park, who got in touch and alerted us to the opening of your new outreach centre, and indeed to our other half, Sean, as well, in regards to that, the opening of the new outreach centre in Salins. So, by the way, well done, Sean and Margaret, on getting the vaccination last Saturday. You're now bulletproof in regards to that. Again, if anyone would like to contact the centre, the main centre, which is the Block Road in Portlaoise, I have a phone number for you for that, if you want to grab a biro very quickly. And also, there is their website as well, which is CuishleCentre.com. C-U-I-S-L-E Centre.com. CuishleCentre, one word, .com. And they just remind us again, Stella, would you please, about the new outreach centre at Sallins.
Yes, the outreach centre is in the waterways in Sallins here in County Kildare. And I just want to say as well, Clem, that all our services are free of charge.
So yeah, I think that's fantastic, actually.
Yes,
I
so
really think that's fantastic.
Yes.
Free of charge, folks. And
yeah,
there's very little free in this country. Free
yes,
of charge.
Very little free. So that's why we really depend on donations and fundraising, because then we can offer to everybody free of charge.
All right.
So you just don't pay for it. So it's great. And
Okay, that's grand, Stella. We leave it there because I was so impressed with it. We've run a bit over time, but it's so important. And I mean, free of charge, folks out there. So again, the phone number to contact the main centre in Port Laoise to find out more is 057 868 1492. That's 868 1492. The prefix being 057 and the website CuishleCentre.com. Now available to the people of Kildare, as the Port Laoise Centre is, by the way, the main
yes.
centre, but now the outreach centre as well, available to the people of Kildare from Sallins and, of course, surrounding counties. Nobody will be refused, regardless
Nobody's
of what
refused.
County.
Yes.
Well done, you, Stella Moran, and your team, your real heroes, and consultant Peter Nocton as well, for the initiative of founding it over a decade ago. Lovely talking to you, Stella.
Great. Okay, and thank you very much for having me, Clem.
Not at all. Why wouldn't I? God, some people doing incredible work.
There today with Clem Ryan.
Okay, Shannon, good to meet him. I'll go to remind me, Cuishle actually is the Irish word for pulse. What an appropriate name. You know, keeping people going, keeping the pulse going. That listener I referred to earlier who says, I attend Cuishle and they are brilliant. I've been diagnosed twice with cancer and they've been so good to me. Good morning, Clem. A question for you. Most non-essential places are opening on Monday the 17th, but no one seems to know if doctors are going to see people, says Colette. Well, Colette, it'll be up to individual doctors in every practice. You'll just have to check with your own, I'm afraid, in regards to that. Jennifer says, Stella and her team were a great support to me when my mum was terminally ill with cancer, and after she passed away, I can't thank them enough. You know, it's an inspirational story, isn't it? Fantastic. And to think that the service is entirely free, indeed. And just let me reach over again, because the number is 057 868 1492, and good luck to them indeed.
Know Your County, a virtual history walk.
In association with Kildare County Council, kildare.ie or at Kildare Heritage.
Liam Kenny, once again, we're going for a walk around Maynooth.
Located on the banks of the Royal Canal, I'm here at the town's most storied landmark, the great Maynooth Castle, which overlooks the entrance to the south campus of the university. There are two massive towers remaining from the original castle, and over the archway through one of them is the coat of arms of the Fitzgeralds, a dynasty which ruled over Kildare for centuries. And looking closely at the figures on either side of the coat of arms, you will make out the weathered features of a creature which transpires to be, of all things, a monkey. Well, the story goes as follows. Many, many generations previously, a Fitzgerald child was asleep in his cot in a Fitzgerald castle. He was the heir to the throne. The floor covering of the time was of straw, and there was a candle in the room, and the straw caught fire. But there was a pet monkey in a cage in the room, and with the crackling of the fire, the monkey began to screech and to wail, and that alerted the adults in the other part of the castle, who rushed up, saw the impending disaster, and rescued the child and secured the succession of the Fitzgerald dynasty. The castle itself traces its origins to the late 1100s, when the first fortification was put in place by the first Fitzgerald baron to settle in the area, of Welsh origins. His foundation was extended, and over successive generations of the family, developed into one of the finest fortresses in Ireland. It probably reached its zenith in the reign of Garrod Mór, the 8th Earl of Kildare. In fact, he was so powerful that the English king, Henry VII, was afraid of him. He said, if Ireland cannot rule Fitzgerald, let Fitzgerald rule Ireland. Many legends have grown up around Garrod Mór, including one that relates how he slumbers in a cavern beneath the Curragh of Kildare. And he rises every 7 years in the month of May to defend Ireland against its enemies. If you're a listener who happens to live around Brownstown, Suncroft, Ballymoney on the edge of the Curragh, and you see a bloke in period dress, it could well be Garrod Moore of Maynooth. His grandson, Silken Thomas, the 10th Earl of Kildare, led a failed uprising against the English garrison in Dublin, and in response, the then English king, Henry VIII, sent over an army to besiege Maynooth Castle. It is said that on the night before he surrendered, Silken Thomas gained some consolation by playing his harp under a yew tree in the castle grounds. And that nicely leads me from the awesome castle into the grounds of Maynooth College, where what is to be seen in front of me, the self-same yew tree under which Silken Thomas many centuries ago had played his harp. This yew tree is reckoned to be 800 years old and is recognised by the Tree Council of Ireland as the oldest planted tree on the island of Ireland. Established in 1795 to train Catholic priests, the original St. Patrick's Seminary of Maynooth became the largest seminary in the English-speaking world. And as I advance further into its grounds, I pass under an archway with a sign saying Callan Hall. And this commemorates one of the early Maynooth professors, Reverend Nicholas Callan, who was a professor in natural science in the college, and who, at a time when people didn't believe there was such a thing as electricity, developed a contraption called the induction coil, which became the forerunner of many electrical components in the modern day. In fact, any listener who turns the ignition on her or his car that goes, rrr, 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 that's Nicholas Callan's invention, the induction coil. We go on into St. Joseph's Square, which is a quadrangle surrounded by the college buildings, of which the most impressive are the main seminary buildings designed by the architect Augustus Welby Pugin. I must go back to the town itself, back out to the college gate, which leads me to the main street. And in doing so, I'm following in the footsteps of the Maynooth 15, who on Easter Monday 1916 marched from the town into Dublin City to take part in the Easter Rising. They were the only Kildare contingent to see action during Easter week. The Maynooth men, led by Donal O'Buchla, marched into the city and were in the thick of the fighting in the GPO. Donal O'Buchla, in the 1930s, Eamon de Valera appointed him the last Governor General of Ireland. Dev was winding down the legacy of the British Crown. We go on to the junction in the main street of Maynooth, which might be called the Roost Junction because the well-known license premises of that name. And at this road junction, I can go to the left, which brings me up Mill Street, named after the former Kavanagh's Manor Mills, now occupied by the Manor Mills Shopping Centre. Opposite it is St. Mary's Catholic Church. And further on, the road goes out to Lara O'Brien, the very old church site and cemetery. If I go back to the Roost Junction, I can go to the right down to Leinster Street, which takes me to the picturesque triangular harbour of the Royal Canal. That's the same Royal Canal that Brendan Behan wrote, "The old triangle goes jingle jangle along the banks of the Royal Canal." Well, you can do your own jingle jangle along the Royal Canal at Maynooth, now that it's part of the newly launched Greenway. And you can walk or cycle eastwards to Leixlip and the Metropolis, or westward to Kilcock and the Midlands. Just beyond then, the canal is the railway, which was built by the Midland Great Western Railway in 1845. I return to the Roost Junction and I proceed down the main street of Maynooth, which, with its wide footpaths and tree-lined pavements, has a touch of class and a touch of style. And as befits a town which evolved around the Fitzgerald estate. And at the eastern end of the main street, I walk into Carton Avenue, a tree-lined walk, a public, if you like, legacy from the great estate. And that brings me onto the Dunboyne Road, from which I can access the Carton estate proper. Now, the Fitzgeralds were associated with the castle in Maynooth up till about the 1600s, when it was ruined for the second time. Then sometime down in Kilkay Castle, between Castle Dermot and Athy, but then came back to Maynooth And when they came back in style, because they commissioned the building of the great Carton House, a Palladian mansion. This was commissioned by the 19th Earl of Kildare, and he commissioned the architect Richard Cassell. He also commissioned Cassell to build Leinster House, which of course is the seat of the Irish Dáil and Senate. The Fitzgeralds, by the late 1700s, owned three impressive properties. Carton was their country house, Leinster House was their city house, and Frascati House in Blackrock was their summer house. They were also elevated to the dukedom in the peerage of Britain and Ireland. The first Duke of Leinster married Lady Emily Lennox, who brought her own extraordinary characteristics to the Fitzgerald family. Lady Emily had access to the highest aristocratic and political circles in Britain and Ireland. She was also the mother to 19 children, and in between all that, found time to complete the interior decoration of Carton House, including the impressive Chinese room, which can be seen to the present day. The Fitzgerald's presence in the Maynooth area, and indeed in Leinster as a whole, continued right through the 1800s. But in the early 1900s, it all began to go wrong. As the 1900s emerged, there were three Fitzgerald brothers. The eldest, Maurice, who in the normal circumstances would inherit it, had an illness of the mind and was confined to a hospital in Edinburgh for his short life. So hopes rested on the second brother, Desmond. First World War broke out in 1914, and he joined the British Army and ended up being killed in a training accident behind the lines when he picked up a piece of ammunition and it exploded. So that meant that the title of properties went to the third brother, Edward. Edward was a chancellor, a gambler. He gambled away his money on wine, women and song, and mortgaged his inheritance of the Leinster estate. Eventually, the mortgage was called in by an English industrialist known as Malaby Deely, and the Leinster estates were lost to the family. The title continues, and there is a Duke of Leinster, the ninth Duke, who lives a relatively low-profile life in England and occasionally visits Ireland. I suppose when we think of Maynooth, we think of it as being, in many ways, a male bastion, if you like. That was to change momentarily on a day in February 1879. A figure who would seem maybe a long way away from these parts, and she was the Empress Elizabeth of Austria and Hungary, who had married the Emperor Franz Joseph when she was just 15 in the mid-19th century. And over the following years, she became the Princess Diana of our time. She found court life in the Imperial Palace in Vienna very difficult. It was so strict. She travelled incessantly throughout Europe, and one of her travels brought her in February 1879 on a hunting expedition to Ireland, where she stayed in Summerhill House, just a few miles north of Kilcock. And she was out with the Ward Union Hunt one day, hunting on the terrain on the Kildare-Meath boundary, when she became detached from the main hunting party, and her horse found its way into the grounds of Maynooth College. In some way, the staff recognised who she was. The college president was summoned, the best china was fetched, and she was entertained to tea. She would have got a warm reception there because she was a Catholic princess. But in any event, she returned anyway to her hunting party, and nothing more was heard until some months later, a big parcel arrived from the continent, and when it was opened in Maynooth, it was found to contain a set of clerical vestments embroidered with the arms of Austria and Hungary and with shamrocks. And this was Elizabeth's gift to Maynooth for the hospitality she had received. Elizabeth, or as she became popularly known in the press as Sissy, story was to end tragically. Almost 20 years later, she was still on her travels, this time to Geneva. And in town that same day was a French anarchist. And tragically, he stabbed her and she died. I like to think that maybe somebody remembered how 20 years earlier, Sissy Elizabeth of Austria and Hungary had brought a cosmopolitan glamour to the otherwise austere clerical corridors of Maynooth.
Know Your County, a virtual history walk.
In association with Kildare County Council, kildare.ie or at Kildare Heritage.
Liam Kenny, what incredible stories we've heard over the 10 weeks, all 20 histories that have been contributed. And we'll return very briefly to acknowledge them all next Tuesday. But there you had the Empress, what was she, Lady Emily, 19 children, and she had time to redecorate Carlton House, if you don't mind. And then the Empress of Austria-Hungary, Lizzie, who'd have thought we had so much royalty in the county. Wonderful again by Liam Kenny, and what a series it's been. We'll tell you a little bit more about our plans on Tuesday, the next edition, and thanks indeed to Bridget Loughlin and the Heritage Centre in Kildare County Council for their support as well. After the break, we have our little weekly COVID quiz, and we'll catch up on some of your messages as well.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
And a reminder, up next between just after 11 o'clock, it's The Green Room with Yvonne O'Connor and possibly Jim Clark of the Johnstown Garden Centre, and much news during the week about a plant, one of which we have here, coincidentally, in KFM in our boardroom, which apparently is going for huge amounts of money, in the hundreds and hundreds even for a cutting. You'll hear more about that from John Dunn, Yvonne, and possibly Jim, just after 11 o'clock this morning. So if you'd like to get your messages in, remember the usual way. You can text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97, email studio at kfmradio.com, or you can also, I'm sure, call them in and on 045 898 999. A listener says, Carlton Maynooth was my favourite quiet area. I used to sit on my Honda 50 and reminisce beautiful memories of lovely people who lived there. Well, if you were on your Honda 50, it was it can't have been too quiet as you came in and chugged along. Anyway, only joking in relation to that. Okay, let's have a bit of fun.
The COVID quiz, the week that was, on Kildare's KFM.
Well, it's not quite the week that was, because after 8 weeks of questions about COVID, I can't find any more new fresh ones. So we're going to take it around a little general knowledge trail today. Are we ready, team?
I suppose we are, yeah.
Why are you giving away the location of that very expensive plant?
It won't be there now in a few minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going out to take it.
I was quite amazed when I saw the article in the Sunday
Times.
Are
you really, though? Of course you'd have the most expensive plant.
No, in the Sunday Times last week, I didn't realise it. I'm going to put barbed wire around it now to see...
You have some from everywhere else. Yeah, amazing.
Go on.
Has barbed wire.
Okay, I'll soften these two.
The wallet has barbed wire.
I'll soften your cough now. Okay, you ready? Kerry Noble, are you beginning? What day, and listeners join in as well, and we'll mark this as we go along.
Straight into it,
you're right. So, Kira, on what day are hot cross buns traditionally eaten?
Sunday.
No. I'll pass it over to Owen.
Thursday?
No. Egypt's. Good Friday.
Lads, of course it is.
Hot cross, of course it is, yeah. All right, Owen, for you. Which wedding anniversary is the paper one?
The 10th?
No.
I know.
Kira?
It's your first year, isn't it?
It is indeed. Kira is 1-0 up. It's your first. How do you know that, Kira? Right, for you, Akira, because that was passed to you. The word pen, P-E-N, has three different meanings in English.
Are you making a statement? You're the worst quiz master.
That's a question. What are the three different...
No, you didn't ask a question.
All right, what are the three different meanings of the word pen, P-E-N, in English?
So, like, a pen to put animals in.
Very good.
A pen you write with.
Very good.
And the slang for penalty.
And the third one?
Slang for penalty.
No, that's penno.
And the third is, let me just, give me a sec to think. Pen.
No, but you know what,
just
Kira?
Just let me a sec.
Because I'm feeling generous, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you for coming up with pen.
Thank
and penno.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's actually a female swan, is the third meaning.
I'm not good at the L animal.
Right, Kira's 2-0 up. Owen. In Spain... I couldn't ask this to Kira. In Spain, it's known as Boob Day. B-O-O-B.
Why couldn't you ask me that? Why not, Clem? What's wrong with asking me that?
What is... In Spain, it's known as Boob Day, Owen.
Yeah.
What is it better known as?
I was actually in Spain for boots.
Oh, yeah, you are, yeah.
When I was on a Spanish exchange, I think we were there for boob day.
Oh.
It's April Fool's Day.
It is indeed, yeah. April Fool's Day.
Because they say booby traps, don't they?
Right, okay. Now, Ciara Noble, name the two birds that you find in the sport of golf.
Like, as in, when they're on the courses sometimes?
Oh, God. Oh, God. I mean, here, I'll write a book in it. Name the two birds.
Yeah, and I'm going to write a book on me asking you back. Are you talking about...
Go on.
Are you talking about the birds that, like, are on the courses?
What? Name the two birds in the sport of golf.
What? Are you talking about, like, a birdie?
I'm going to pass it over.
You're not... But you're not being specific. I don't understand. Are you talking about, like, a birdie? Like, that's... I don't know what you're trying
that's
to say.
That's not a bird.
Okay, so you're talking about actual
I want the name
birds.
Of the two birds.
Okay, one has long legs, and it's got, like, the feather on its head, and it's kind of grey and white, and it's got...
What is going on?
Go
it's got a gold beak. An eagle.
Yes.
And... An eagle and a pelican.
No. I'm going to pass it over.
Can I get half a point?
No.
An eagle and albatross.
An eagle and
no, he doesn't
albatross.
Get that. I gave him half of it.
He does.
No, he doesn't. That's not
two,
how
two.
It works.
2-2. Two.
I gave you pen for penalty, right?
No. Okay.
Owen, over to you. What word is the exact same in 1,200 languages?
Amen.
Correct, Oni, oh boy. Religious.
Yeah.
Ciara, which is the world's most widely used vegetable?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, I know this one because I know it from home ec.
You do, right.
See, I do. He did home ec.
Hurry
I
up,
did not.
Hurry up, Tempest Fugit.
Well, firstly, let me know.
No, I only want the bloody name of a vegetable.
An onion.
An onion is correct.
Yeah.
Kira's 1, 2, 3. It's 3-3 at the moment with three questions to go. Owen.
Right.
Which animal is faster than a horse, can go longer without water than a camel, and can see behind without moving its head?
Can see behind without moving its head? No, I was going to say owl. Giraffe?
Correct.
Giraffe, I know, can hold more water or go longer without water than
Owen
a camel.
Owen is having a stormer.
A.K.A. Googling.
Right.
How could you Google that so quickly? Every week there's accusations of Googling.
Right.
You could just give people credit.
I just love when you get mad.
Right. Don't give people credit.
Here we go now. Question 9. Ciara, what have these three in common? Diesel, Macintosh, Tarmac Adam.
Diesel, Macintosh and Tarmac Adam.
Yeah, what have the three of them in common?
Things you've bought shares in?
No, wrong answer. Owen?
They're all something to do with motorway or travel?
No.
Tar markers from roads?
No. They are all named, they all have their inventors' names in them. Rudolf Diesel, Macintosh, to nobody's first name, and Tar McAdam was John McAdam who invented Tar McAdam.
Well, then that's not his name, is
okay,
it?
Nobody gets that.
No, because that's not his name, it's Tar McAdam.
Right.
So that's wrong, Clem.
Last question for you, Ciara.
Yes.
That's mine, isn't it?
No, it's mine.
No, I'll give it to Ciara.
Why?
Because I'm nicer than you.
How does a goldfish signify it is ready for mating, Ciara?
A goldfish signifies it's ready for mating by...
I'll give you a hint. I'm forever...
Blowing bubbles?
Blowing bubbles is correct, Ciara. You're on the ball. 1, 2, 3, 4 for Ciara, and Owen got 1, 2, 3, 4. Ciara got 1, 2. It's a draw again this week. I'm getting fed up of draws.
All right.
Give us like a tiebreaker question,
yeah,
Cam,
tiebreaker.
Off the top of your head. Come on.
Spelled Chihuahua.
Oh, me.
All right, Ciara.
Wait, should we both have a go?
No, just you.
C H I H U A U A.
Correct. Good luck to two of you.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
Okay, a little confession there. Ciara and I cheated poor Owen because I had asked Ciara yesterday that question of how to spell Chihuahua, and she practically got it right yesterday. C-H-I-H-U-A-U-A. H-U-A-U-A, for those of you who are still wanting to find out. Poor old Owen got caught on that one. Thank you, Dom Gorry, who has... get your questions in now for the Green Room. Don has a clematis, which he says was beautiful blue flowers up to December, but now looks as if it's totally dead. It does in the photograph. We'll get Yvonne to have a look at that for you, Dom. Anybody else, you can get your messages in for the Green Room now. I have a clematis that's flowering beautifully, I have to say. Not anything I did to it in particular. Anyway, thanks everyone for taking part in the quiz. And now we're going to leave you with a poem that I've been trying to bring you for the last couple of days. When I first came across this poem in school long, long time ago, it's by Walter Delamere, I had this image of my head of a man coming back from the war in the Middle Ages to his castle. But he had been away so long, nobody was there. It's all sort of mysterious about the meaning of life even, but I prefer to take it in the simple terms of what happened while this man was gone. Who was he and where was he? The poem is called The Listeners by Walter Delamere. Is there anybody there? Said the traveller, knocking on the moonlit door, and his horse in the silence champed the grasses of the forest's ferny floor, and a bird flew up out of the turret above the traveller's head, and he smote on the door again a second time. Is there anybody there? He said. But no one descended to the traveller. No head from the leaf-fringed sill leaned over and looked into his grey eyes, where he stood perplexed and still. But only a host of phantom listeners that dwelt in the lone house then stood listening in the quiet of the moonlight to that voice from the world of men. Stood thronging the faint moonbeam dark stair that goes down to the empty hall, hearkening in an air stirred and shaken by the lonely traveller's call. And he felt in his heart their strangeness, their stillness answering his cry, while his horse moved, cropping the dark turf neath the starred and leafy sky. For he suddenly smote on the door even louder and lifted his head. Tell them I came, and no one answered, that I kept my word, he said. Never the least stir made the listeners, though every word he spake fell echoing through the shadowiness of the still house from the one man left awake. Aye, they heard his foot upon the stirrup and the sound of iron and stone, and how the silence surged softly backwards when the plunging hoofs were gone. The Listeners by Walter Delamere. What an incredible poem that just gives so much food to the imagination. Thanks for your company, producer Owen Beattie, Ciara Noble and the entire team. It's been a gas all morning. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning from 9. John Dunn is up next with 11 to 2, including the Green Room. Get your queries in now. Stay safe and take care of each other. Ciara Plunkett's in the KFM newsroom.